John, here's the title. Do you want to be a giant killer? I was going to teach you some things on giants today, but I'm going to, there was some in-depth stuff I was going to try to show you, but I'm not going to be able to do that today because of kids, but we will touch on some thoughts I had here. 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 45 through 54. First Samuel chapter 17. Let's stand for the reading of God's word. Glad you're here. Supposed to warm up tomorrow. I think we're supposed to have 2 or 3 days in the 50s. That's good. Hey, it's almost December, man. 50s in December? I'll take it. Now, tomorrow is the opening day of deer season, so don't take a stroll through the woods with a Davy Crockett hat on or something, you know. Matter of fact, don't even get near the woods right now for the next week or so. And because there's a lot, you know, people, even I've seen farmers put, and I don't blame them, they put on their cows signs, "I'm not a deer," you know. Hold on to your dog and keep them on a leash this week. And deer season's a great, it's a lot of fun, but there's some people sometimes that are quick to shoot and then they look, and that's not no good. Captain Frymer and David got to look at deer yesterday, and they shot a few, but they didn't. They eluded them. They sometimes after you wound them, they were out there in a restricted area out there on Route 5, and so they did have a good time. All righty, let's look at verse 45. You know the story. Then said David to the Philistine, "How many got First Samuel 17 verse 45?" "Thou comest me with a sword and with a spear and a shield, but I come in the name of the Lord of hosts, of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. This day," not later, "this day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thy head off, take thy head from thee, and I will give thy carcass for the host of the Philistines that day, and the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there's a God in Israel." And ladies and gentlemen, there is a God in Israel. There's a God in heaven right now. And he does conquer giants. And you Christians, he can conquer the giants in your life also. Let's have a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray, Father, that you'll bring a stillness now. Holy Spirit of God, go up and down the aisles and bring a stillness. There's a truth here that some people need to get. Some need it right now. Others will need it in the coming days. I believe you told me to preach this message. Help me now, Father, to bring a message that would not be so long that the kids would be overtaxed. And Lord, give me wisdom what to say and not to say now. Just use me for the glory of Christ, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. You know the story. David took a sling and a stone, and he, boom, and that big old giant, boink, boom, and David ran and got that big sword and, boom, chopped his head right off. Boy, I love them kind of stories, Brother Mike. Man, I think those are great stories. I love it when we win. How many like to win? And I wish David played for the Cleveland Browns. And but boy, I'll tell you right now, that's a great story. Everyone knows about this story about David, the giant killer. And by the way, David was known as a giant killer. And the fame of David spread rapidly, even in his day. And everyone from miles around heard of David, the giant killer. You know, you'd be amazed what happens when you start defeating giants. Word gets out, hey, that guy, that woman's a giant killer. And today, before I talk to you about David, the giant killer, and by the way, there was more than, I'm going to talk to you more than just David. You know, there was I'm going to show you five giant killers in the Bible. Five of them. And, you know, giants have been around a long time. They were back way back in Noah's day in Genesis 6:4. They were back then. The Bible says in the earth was filled. There were giants in the earth in that time. And when you read in Numbers 13, don't turn to it. Stay right where you're at, because we're gonna have to go over all. In Numbers 13, verse 32 and 33. Remember when Moses had the spies go out for the land of milk and honey? They saw giants there. And they said, whoa, we can't take that land of milk. Those giants, we're like little grasshoppers. Woo, they make us shake and we're afraid. Boy, not Joshua and Caleb, though. They were ready to slew them right now. We can take them. Amen? Matter of fact, when you study the scriptures, Caleb, when he got that mountain, and the Bible said he slew the three sons of Anak. And they might have been giants themselves, because Anak, the Anak people were associated with giants. So, but anyways, in Deuteronomy chapter 2, it talks about the giants and how they became they were starting to become remnants. And then in Deuteronomy chapter 3, there was a king named Og. And he talked about his bed. And you know, we talk about a single bed, a double bed, a queen-size bed, a king-size bed. Boys and girls, this King Og, the Bible says in Deuteronomy 3:11 that his bed was 14 foot long. 14 foot long and 6 foot wide. He had a giant-sized bed. Amen? His bed was 14 by 6. That's bigger than any king bed you've ever seen. That was a bed made for a giant. You see, there's a lot of giants sometimes in our life too, aren't they? And they all look, all the giants in our life always look large. Always look bigger than life, don't they? Well, I want you to know some giant killers. And maybe you'll be a giant killer when this is all over. Look at 2 Samuel. Turn up another book, 2 Samuel chapter 21. And I'm gonna read from this verse 5. We're going to take verse by verse down to verse 22. Look at verse 15. I want you to see this. Follow with me. I'm going to show you 5 different giant killers, and I'm going to give you some thoughts about each one of them. How many have got 2 Samuel chapter 21? Look at verse 15. Moreover, the Philistines yet warred again with Israel. Are you in 2 Samuel? 2 Samuel chapter 21, verse 15. I'm going to be there the rest of the service. This is where I'm going to be. Moreover, the Philistines had yet war with Israel, and David went down and his servants with them and fought against the Philistines. Now watch this. I don't think many people catch this. And David waxed faint. Circle that. David waxed faint. And now look at verse 16. Now I never was great in English, and I'm going to probably not pronounce these words right. But to be honest with you, until we get to heaven, I don't know if any of us are going to really know the right pronunciation. Now, yours might sound a whole lot better than mine. But let's look at verse 16. And remember, David waxed faint in verse 15. And Ishbiah Benob, which was one of the sons of the giant, this was one of Goliath's sons. This is one of the sons of Goliath. Remember David killed Goliath of Gath? This is one of his sons. One of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight, he, being girded with a new sword, thought to have slain David. So David must have been in a fight with this giant. And evidently, Annie, David must have got somehow hit in the head. Because it said he waxed faint. And if you'll keep going, if you'll keep reading, look at verse Look what it says there. And he thought to have, this giant thought he killed David. He thought to have slain David. How many see that? So it makes me think, Billy, that either he dazed him, or David might have passed out for a few minutes. They thought David was dead. David might have, it doesn't say here, but I'm thinking he might have had a concussion. You know, that big old bird knocking you in the head. I'm thinking, what would make you faint? What would make you dizzy? What would make you pass out? Maybe a blow to the face or the head? Hello? So much so that this giant, the son of Goliath, one of the sons of Goliath, he literally thought he killed David. Ho, 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 ho. I got the guy that killed my dad. Ho, ho, ho. Now watch verse 17. But Abishai, the son of Zerah, succored him and smote the Philistine and killed him. He killed that giant that thought he the giant said, oh, I killed David. And that one of David's men said, I'm going to get you. He got him. Then the men of David swear unto him, saying, thou shalt not go no more out with us to battle, that thou quench not the light of Israel. Boy, there's a thought there, isn't there? Number one, David was the first. Look up here. Number one, David was the first giant killer. Number two, David was almost killed by. Number one, David killed the first giant, Goliath. By the way, David almost, evidently almost, at least he was knocked out. How many are with me? Wasn't killed, but he must have been slightly thought, he was thought to be killed, so he must have took a blow from this one big giant. How many are with me? But this Ashabila came and he slew that giant. So he was Ashabila is the second giant killer. Are you with me? We're talking about giant killers today. Who wants to be a giant killer? And notice what he said though. You're not going to go out and fight no more with us, because we don't want the light of Israel to go out. You know, David was more than just a warrior. David was a spiritual leader. And I got a thought here for you. They saw the importance of their leader from and keeping their protecting their leader from danger. David was more important to him as a spiritual leader than he was a warrior for him. Can anyone say amen? Amen? You know, there's a constant spiritual battle warfare going on all the time. Protect your preacher. And all your spiritual leaders, protect them from attack from darkness and Satan. In other words, how can I protect you? Pray for them daily. Pray God's blessing around them. Pray God's hedge around them. Stand up for them when someone will try to tear them down with. They speak bad and ill of them in front of you. Stand up for them. Say, no, that's the man of God. No, he's a man that leads us for Christ. You're not going to talk to him about like that. Stand up for your preacher. Stand up for the leaders of the spiritual leaders, your deacons, the associate pastors, these people that are in authority here. Stand up for them. Protect them. Care about their protection. They're important for all of us. Amen? I like what he said there, Brian. He said, man, you're the light of Israel. Man, we got to protect you. So that preacher is, and by the way, you do protect me. Sometimes I think you overprotect me, but that's all right. It's nice to be loved. And then look at verse 18. This is the third giant killer. This is a good one. And it came to pass after this, that there again, are you in verse 18 with me? There was again a battle with the Philistine at Gob. Boy, what these names, look, Gob. And then, Sabachna, the Hushaiite slew Sapha, which was of the son of the giant. So here's another one, another son of Goliath gets killed. How many see that in verse 18? So there's a third. Now, there's a third. There's another giant killer right there. It was David. Then verse the 18. Now here's a third killer, the killer of giants, Sabakiah. How do you want to pronounce it? How do you pronounce that, Ruth? What is it? Yeah, Sibike. Yeah, you got it. That sounds right to me. Then look at verse 19. And there was again a battle in Gob. They just keep fighting. See, look up here, folks. The warfare never stops. Our battle with the power of darkness, look up here, Christians. Our battle with the power of darkness never stops. We're in a constant warfare. That's why Ephesians teaches to put on the full armor of God. How many are with me yet? Well, look at in verse 19, and there again was a battle in Gob with the Philistines there, and Elihana, the son of Jeroboam, a Bethlehemite, slew the brother of Goliath, the staff of whose spear was like a weaver's beam. Man, there's another one, another giant killer. How many see that? He's number four. This says he slew the brother of Goliath. And then look at the fifth one. And there was yet a battle in Gath, where a man of great stature that was this guy was, kids, look up here. This guy had six fingers. This son of Goliath, he had six fingers on every hand and six toes. Six. The guy had 24. Six and six. Four times six is 20. Man, that guy had all kinds of fingers and toes. Man, I'm telling you, how would he put a glove on? How would he get a sock on? Who'd want to buy a shoe for him? Holy mackerel. This giant was, he had six fingers and on both hands and six toes on both feet. Look what it says there in verse 20. And there was yet a battle in Gath where the man of great stature had on every hand six fingers and on every foot six toes, 24 in number. And he also was born to the giant. So these are all Goliath's sons. How many see that? And when he defiled Israel, Jonathan, the son of Shimeah, the brother of David, slew him. How many see that in verse 21? How many got that? And so, this giant had six fingers and six toes on each. Jonathan slew him. So look up here. David's not the only giant killer. David killed Goliath. Abishah killed the son of Goliath. I wish I could say that again. Shebekiah killed the son of Goliath. Elihana, he killed Goliath's brother. And Jonathan killed another son of Goliath. Those are the five giant killers talked about in the Bible. Are you still with me? Now, before we go home, the question is, would you like to be a giant killer? Would you like to be a giant killer? You can. Let me show you how to be a giant killer. Number one, I got four things here. Number one, a giant killer must be faithful and responsible in little things. Remember in 1 Samuel 17, before David went to battle, you remember what he was doing? His father told David to go feed the sheep, go take care of the flock. Look up here. Look up here, folks. Boys and girls, if you are not faithful to obey in little things, you'll never accomplish and defeat big things. The reason, if all giant killers, number one, to be a giant killer, you got to be faithful in little things. Because if you're not faithful in little things, you won't be able to conquer big things. I know there's a scripture here in Luke 16:10. He that is faithful in that which is least also is faithful also in much. You say, boy, preacher, I wish I could conquer these giants. Well, you might have some giants in your life, but until you start doing the first little things, don't expect to do the bigger things. To get to the top of the ladder, you got to take the first step. A journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step, the first step. A lot of people say, well, boy, I wish I could do those things. You could, but you never do because you won't be faithful in the most little things. And God can't trust us with big things to overcome if we can't even overcome the small things. Number two, a giant killer must have a cause. David said in 1 Samuel 17:29, is there not a cause? You got to have something that would motivate you. You got to have something that would stir you to go on. For instance, is there not a cause to witness the lost people? Is there not a cause to give the gospel out? Is there not a cause to send missionaries around the world so that they can preach the gospel? Yes, there's a cause to witness. Yes, there's a cause to give out tracts. By the way, Rod Black said that David, a church down in Hinckley, Ohio, has ordered some Got Life tracts. I'm excited about that. The first church outside of Arizona, I'm sending out those Got Life tracts. Amen? Listen, there's a cause for Miss Myrtle to pass out those tracts. There's a cause for Jordan to pass out those tracts because people are dying and going to hell. There's a cause for me to give to missionaries. There's a cause so someone around the world can hear about Christ, because they don't hear about him, they can't be saved. So then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. There's a cause for us to go to church. There's a cause for us to pray. There's a cause for us to read our Bible. There's a cause for us to tithe. There's a cause for us to witness. There's a reason for everything. By the way, if you don't have a cause, you'll never defeat that giant. David said, I'm not going to let that giant get away with this stuff. He had a cause. By the way, Brother Mike, he had a cause for Christ, but he also had a secondary cause. Because he heard the king say, whoever kills the giant, he'll get my daughter. It's amazing. David had a cause. He wanted to get a wife. Amen. That's a motivator. Amen. Those boys that David, Mr. Ballard, used to, when he was dating Tammy, he used to drive 150 miles to come to our church on Sundays. And people say, boy, he comes all this far to go to our church? He must think you're great. I said, it ain't got nothing to do with me. He's coming to see Tammy. You nuts? David had a cause, and his cause was Tammy Lynn. How many are still with me? We have to have you want to defeat some giants in your life? Then get a cause. Number three, giant killers go in the Lord's power and not their own. I read to you in 1 Samuel 17:45-46, David said, I come to thee in the name of the Lord. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand. See, when we try to do things on our own, you ain't going to defeat no giant. But you give it to God and let God do it in his power, in his way, you can defeat those giants. I quoted some scripture here. I wrote some scripture down. We can't defeat our enemies in our own strength. We must come and go in the strength of Christ to give us the victory. Romans 8:32. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Christ that loved us. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be unto God. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. You want to defeat some giants? Start looking to Christ. And of course, Philippians 4:13, some of you have already thought of this. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. We're talking about being giant killers today. I told you, if you want to be a giant killer, number one, you have to be faithful in small things. You're never going to defeat big things if you're not faithful to do the little things. I said, number two, you got to have a cause. You want to be a giant killer, there must be a cause to motivate you to take up your cross and go after them. And number three, I said, a giant killer, you must go in the Lord's power, not your own. And then lastly, number four, If you want to be a giant killer, you need to take the right amount of weapons with you so that you are fully furnished for the battle. So that you're fully furnished for the battle. Now, when you study this in 1 Samuel 17:40, you'll see that David took 5 smooth stones. David took 5 smooth stones. You ever wonder why he took 5 stones? He only used one. He took 5 because he knew, no doubt, I believe he took 5 because he not only saw Goliath, but he knew Goliath had those 4 sons. How many are still with me? He knew there was 4 other giants that I just read to you in 2 Samuel 21 that got killed. How many are with me? Now stay with me. I believe he took those 5 stones because he thought that those 4 other giants would come after him after he defeated Goliath. That's why you got to be ready. You can't look up here, church. You can't be happy just getting one defeat over a giant. Because we got more giants in our life than just one. You're going to face more obstacles and more challenges than just one. And so you got to be prepared after you defeat the first one to be ready to take on the next one. Listen, we have to face many different kinds of giants in our life. And God's given us a Bible to defeat every giant that we face. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, and correction, for instruction in righteousness. Look at this, verse 17. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Boys and girls, you need to read this Bible and study it every day of your life. Because this Bible and the truth of this Bible, if you apply it to your life and your heart, it'll help you defeat every giant, every problem, every big thing that stands in your way in life. This Bible can defeat all your giants that come. If you'll trust God, if you'll lean on His Word, if you'll obey His Word, if you'll be faithful to His Word, if you'll look to His Word, if you'll trust His Word, this Bible will fully furnish you for all giants. We have to obey it. We have to commit it. We have to trust it. We have to do what it says. Amen? Fully furnished. Do you have that stone? David had that stone. He had that rock that was a giant killer. Psalm 62:6 says, He is, talking about the Lord, He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. Psalm 62:6. He only is my rock, my salvation, my defense. I shall not be moved. Some of you may be facing giants even today. Some of you might be having some real problems. And by the way, whenever you have problems, nothing looks small. They all look like enlarged giants to us. How many know what I'm talking about? You can defeat that giant. You can get victory over that giant. And you can be a giant killer if you'll just learn from the giant killers in the Bible. Let me encourage you today, boys and girls and ladies and gentlemen. The world has a lot of giants out there. A lot of big things that's going to try to tear your life down, discourage you, take your faith away from Christ. You stay with the Bible. You stay with this King James Bible that God gave us. The King James Bible. Say this with me. God gave us a Holy Bible. Its name is the King James Bible. That's what God gave me in the English version. Yes, he did. God's given you a Bible. That's all right. You don't have to no more. It's my fault. It's what I get. Here's your five stones. Here's your rock. Here's your mighty fortress. Here's your strength. Here's your comfort. Here's your refuge. Here's your mighty shield. Here's your buckler. I don't know what you're facing today, but you don't have to face it alone. You can commit it unto Christ. And if you'll commit it to Christ, you too can be a giant killer. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time we've had. And I pray, dear God, with all my heart, that we would learn from these five giant killers, that we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. Help us to have that cause. Help us to know, to be faithful in the small things so we can overcome even the larger ones. Help us, Father, to trust you and to go in your strength and not try to do it in our strength. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed today, I know I preached a message for the kids a lot, but there's a truth here for the adults also. Maybe you're facing a giant today. Maybe you're really facing a giant. And you would say, Pastor, pray for me. Yes. Who else? Yes. 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 Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Who else? Pastor, yes, I see that hand back there. God bless you. And I see another hand there. Yes. And I saw your hand there. Yes. And I see a hand there. Yes. God bless you. Preacher, I am really facing a giant. And I want to be a giant killer. Yes. I want to be a giant killer. I don't want the giant to kill me. By the way, did you notice even King David, who was a giant killer, got knocked down? We can all get fainted sometimes. We can all stumble and stagger sometimes. Sometimes these giants can give a big blow to our life. We need to have strength to come back. Only God's strength can get you through it. I wonder also, before I pray, how many would say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. And I don't want to die without Christ. Pray for me. I want them to know when I die, I'm not sure. Pray for me. Anyone like that? Maybe you're and you'd say, Preacher, I'm not sure. Really not sure if I died, that I'd go to heaven. And I don't want to miss out on heaven. I said, I know I'm repeating. I want you to think about that. Do you know for sure you're going to go to heaven? That's so important. The most important thing in the world is knowing for sure you're going to go to heaven when you die. I'm glad my sister-in-law had a profession of faith. I'm glad we used to talk to her and Johnny about the Lord all the time. When John called us in tears this morning, Rosie talked to him. She wept with him, and we wept. We knew that Robin is with the Lord right now, because to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord, it's a great comfort knowing that you're saved. It's reckless living not to know you're saved. And it's a fool that would risk his eternal soul to go to hell forever and not trust Christ as Savior. If you've never trusted Christ as Savior, let me encourage you today to do that. And then one last thing, if you're here and you've trusted Christ, but you've never been baptized, how many say, Preacher, I've been saved, but I've never been baptized? Yes, 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 yes. Let me encourage you, if you've never been baptized and you've been saved, and you got permission from your parents, you have to get permission from your parents. Or if you're an adult, why don't you come forward this morning? You've trusted Christ. Why don't you follow in believer's baptism? That's the first act of obedience. You want to be a giant killer? You got to be faithful in the small things, the first things first, before you're going to do other great things. The first step after being saved is to get baptized. Heavenly Father, help us. Help us to learn to be giant killers. And Father, I pray that you'd help. Lord, there was hands on both sides, young and old alike, that were facing giants. Lord, comfort them today. Help them today. Strengthen them. Lord, come down and be their Jehovah Jireh. Lord, be that stone that would defeat that giant that's in front of them. And if there's some here Father, that don't know you as Savior, I pray today they'll take Christ as their Savior. And Father, if there's some that's trusted Christ, help them to step out and get baptized today. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.